Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Discomfort Inn. This is Pat Oates here with Stosh Makita.
Hello. Hello,
sir. There he is. I knew his name. He didn't know his name last week, but I know his name now. And straight from Stosh Makita's place where he lives, actually Josh's place that Stosh lives in, Josh Levinson, everybody.
Thank you. I was going to say, if you're going to call it Stosh's place, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah, no.
He's just going to call it Stosh's place in the sense that the listeners, all 12 of them, knew Stosh and didn't know you.
That's just fair. Cost me an extra $50 in rent a month right. Just to show me who's boss.
Lease agreement just got rewritten.
Does anyone ever walk into the house and go, Stosh, Josh, by gosh, does anyone ever...
No, and they would be permanently banned.
Honestly, that's the only reason you haven't been invited yet, because we know.
And you know I'm sitting here waiting for my invitation for me and a person that could drive me there. Any comics out there want to drive me to their house so I can go to their home? Two people who don't make me uncomfortable. Stosh, everyone makes uncomfortable. Josh does not seem like you don't seem like an uncomfortable person anymore. I know you were an uncomfortable person in the past in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now that you're a handsome devil.
That's right.
Not fat.
That's right.
Yeah, there's all non-fats here.
Yeah, that's right. We've metamorphosized.
I mean, if someone met Stosh now, they'd be like, "What are you talking about? Stosh is fat." But Stosh, compared to what he was,
that's right. It's fit. All about that before after.
Yes.
Yeah.
You look like a smaller bag of Bisquick now.
Dude, I'm down to only 1X in my shirt size.
What?
Yeah, dude. By this time, 3 months from now, Malcolm probably XL. No X's, dude.
Like making a fuck with that Kohl's wardrobe.
What's the weight?
Yeah. I lost 86.
No, what do you weigh?
Oh, I don't want to say that on the podcast.
What are you, a fancy lady? Just
yes,
say
I'm a fancy lady.
Okay, fine.
Have you not seen his room? It's full of fancy lady stuff.
Yeah, find out on his website. That's creepy enough. But all right, let's get to a... By the way, thank you everyone for chiming in on this week's subject. This week's subject is going out to eat. So it could be at a restaurant, at a buffet, at a fast food place. It's all about what makes you uncomfortable when you go out to eat. From deciding where to go, to when you're going out with people, going out by yourself, the interactions you have with waitstaff, the interactions you have with other customers, bathrooms, all that. Anything that makes you uncomfortable, we're going to try to cover here. Now, Josh, are you somebody who goes out frequently to eat? You're a guy who lives in the city. You're a big proponent and fan of the city of New Haven that you live in. Do you go to a lot of different restaurants and bars to check things out?
Yeah, I feel like I used to more, and then I bought a house, and I'm like, oh, boy, that's a lot of money to spend on a meal when I could fix a gutter.
Right. Well, also, not in fact, but you also, in an apartment, it's not always, when you're in a home, it's nice to use your kitchen and be in your home and have food, but in an apartment, you're kind of like, it's small and you want to get out, too, so I kind of understand that more.
I like to try new restaurants, though, because I'll kind of eat almost any food, so I'm like, oh, this is a weird new restaurant, I'll check it out, you know?
Almost any food, as long as it doesn't have any meat in it.
That's right, yeah. I don't eat meat anymore.
Good.
But
well, they have restaurants for those folks, too.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Even just regular restaurants.
It's just funny for a pescatarian to say, I'll try almost any food.
We will.
Yeah,
I
only eat meat now and again as well. You know, I'll cheat.
What?
Yeah, I've been
on subject there, Stefano. Anyway, I like how the roommates are already bickering. What are you talking about? We only can have fish on Tuesdays. It's like
no, I mean, I felt betrayed real quick. I apologize for the derail. We could get back to it.
No, but okay, you know what? That's a perfect example. We'll get right into that right there. When you're going out with someone that you know has restrictions, my daughter has nut allergies and things like that. She doesn't even like eating out anymore. She has a little bit of an OCD thing where she does not enjoy going out because she does not trust the cleanliness of humans in restaurants. And I get that 100%. Yeah. Really think about it. I understand that. But for a while, when she liked going out to eat, we had to look and see into what oils they use, things like that. So it mattered. I also have other friends that are vegetarians. Myself, I don't eat any pizza, pasta, or bread. So if someone's like, you want to go out to eat, they'll turn to me and go, hey, it's mostly a pizza place. Are you cool with that? And I always say this, like you said, Josh, that doesn't bother me. I'm like, they're going to have something.
Yeah.
I'll find a salad. I'll have something like that. You know, I can have just meatballs. I'll always eat just meatballs. I have no problem with that. So always can find something to eat like that. So does that bother you as someone who – do you find it uncomfortable when someone says, let's go out to eat, and they address, like Stosh kind of did kiddingly, but like, well, I know you don't eat meat, Josh.
Yeah,
so you can't go here. Are you
it's
cool?
It's slightly annoying, but I don't care. I'm just like, whatever. I'll find something to eat. It's fine. Like, I don't care.
See, it makes me uncomfortable for the simple fact that people, I understand that they're trying to be understanding, but they're almost like babying me. Like, Pat, I know that you don't eat the... Like, yeah, I got it. Yeah. I've survived.
It's a fun time for them to take a shot at you.
Yeah, for these 44 years, I've somehow survived without you and your guidance person that I'm going to go eat with. But, like, I got it. I'll be okay. I'll figure out something. You go to a pasta place, I'll still find food. Don't worry. There's always something for me to eat. And that's fine with me. There's definitely... You can go anywhere and find things that aren't meat. Pasta is not meat. You could eat that.
Even bars usually have a shitty quesadilla you can eat.
Yeah, there's definitely month things in a bar that you can find something that's not like that. I mean, I don't know what you do with a health wise, but mozzarella stick does not have any fucking meat in it.
No, it does not.
Right, but I mean, I don't know if you're like you're not like vegan. Right?
No, you can
have dairy and things like that. So, yeah, that one's actually this time in age 2019 more than ever. It's easy.
Vegetarian is not hard. Yeah.
20 years ago, it was very hard to have any kind of restriction. You went somewhere and they were like, "Forget." The Simpsons made a great episode that one time about like everything had what was it meat in it, like even the bread had meat and whatever it was. The Stash, you're eating healthier now and stuff like that. Do people address that when you go out to eat?
No,
no,
not at all.
Thanks for chiming in.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like he cares.
He says that, but I mean like. He's someone now. He's in a relationship. He brings it up on every episode. And
he can only eat like 1,000
calories.
The first two anyway.
He just do that because he gets a little blushes a little bit. He can't say her name anymore. She's Voldemort, so he's not on.
Oh yeah,
she's actually a vegetarian. So
who is?
She who shall not be named. So
who also pretty much lives the. No.
Yeah, that's true. About half the time, but so every time we go out to eat, that is a consideration for us as well
for each other, right? Yeah. So that does not the first time you guys went out, that wasn't something uncomfortable because you were like, hey, I like to go to this place, but maybe she can't go to that place. That doesn't make you uncomfortable.
I think it made her uncomfortable. The first time we went out, we went to a bar and I ordered chicken fingers and offered her one, and she didn't say she was a vegetarian. She just got like sheepish and was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, I understand that. I've been out places to eat where they got a pizza. Case in point, like I went out to eat one time with a bunch of people and they didn't know that I don't eat pizza anymore. Not like I'm putting it out there. I'm not that person. Excuse me. I have a restriction. It's not a restriction. It's not a diet. I don't have a medical condition. I've just chosen not to eat these things. If I did eat it, I would be fine. It's just something I choose not to eat anymore. But I've been out to places where they all got wanted to get a pizza or all get something like that, or you know, a bunch of bread at the table, and they're like, "Hey, you have all the bread," and I just say, "No, thank you." And if they push it, like I'm like, "I just don't eat pizza."
Yeah,
and that's fine. Like that. And I'm fine with just doing that. But then I watch other people get like weird, and that makes me uncomfortable. They're like, "Oh my god, you didn't say you don't eat it. We could get something else. What can we get you?" And it's just like easy. Once again, like you know, now you're making a big deal. Now I'm uncomfortable, and I almost feel like I'm doing something wrong by not eating this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just not eating this thing. Like, I don't know.
I agree, though. It's like if I go somewhere and, you know, somebody orders, like, oh, you got to try this brisket. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't eat brisket. But it's like, I'd rather just be like, no, I'm good, rather than have to get into a 15-minute conversation of why don't eat meat. And because then I'm like, oh, why? Or is it like hell? I'm like, I just don't. Hardly know you were.
What's worse, they don't care either. That's the worst part. You know they don't care. Now, because even with me, people go, why don't you eat that? And I go, I've just been trying to lose weight. And they're like, oh, keto? And I'm like, no. Because like, yeah, I think that's keto. I'm like, no, I think I know what I'm doing. I eat potatoes. I eat rice.
Are you sure, Pat? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure. I eat carbs. And once in a while, I'll have a little bit of flour. I'll eat a chicken nugget. I'll eat a chicken finger. So a little bit of bread.
I actually ate some chicken fingers last night. I've been cheating like a devil lately. Yeah,
that's just a choice, a health choice for
it
you.
Is,
because,
yeah.
You know, you were a bigger person, and then you decided that was the... To me, and that's where my uncomfortability comes in, I'm doing it because I feel more comfortable as myself not eating those things because I didn't like myself when I ate those things. So if I go out and someone's like, oh, come on, be one of us, and I'm like, it almost makes me feel like I'm supposed to do that. Like, am I doing something wrong by not eating this thing? And I'm like, just let me sit here. I got it. I'll eat a big salad. I'm good with it.
Do you feel
like
not drinking makes you better prepared for that conversation where like you're already kind of used to like not doing something a lot of people do?
No, I really. It's funny because
are people more understanding about that?
The drinking.
Sorry, I don't
thing,
mean to like get off topic.
No, at all. Because going out to eat that's another.
Yeah, that's
going out to eat. People are like, let's get around.
Yeah,
speaking
of awkward,
what would you like?
Oh yeah, well, that
that's
is
the
like
hardest
the,
thing.
Yeah,
that's one thing. I don't get uncomfortable about the food thing and the dieting, but when people are getting drinks, that's just a conversation I don't want to have.
And then the worst thing is when they ask you why not. It's like, I'm all set.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's a weirdly personal question to ask people, because like it could be for health reasons, you could have a condition that doesn't allow, like it's just a weird thing to ask. Can't you just be like, oh, you don't drink, that's cool?
Well, everybody wants you to have this rock bottom story too, and when you, yeah. and when yeah. you don't, yeah. they're bummed out.
Yeah,
when they're upset.
They thought they were going to hear some juicy goss.
Yeah, they thought you were going to lose the whole ranch and everything like that. And my story is a little bit more mean, how I quit drinking. So it kind of bums out the table. But they push me enough, I'm like, all right, I'll tell you the story. And it, but it's like, when we're sitting at the table and someone's like, oh, a round of drinks, what do you want? And like the waitress will be like, what can I get you? And I'm like, just water. And everyone, and I like, even that when the waitress goes, you sure? I'm like, yeah, I know how to order. Like, are you sure? And it's not like,
do you know that we have other beverages?
Well, it's funny because like years ago, that meant you were cheap. Because yeah. that, back mm-hmm. when I was a kid, people didn't drink just water. The only two things I drink now are water and coffee. I don't drink anything else. I don't have soda. I don't drink juices. I don't drink anything. I just legitimately drink water and coffee. That's all I drink.
Cheat a little bit of seltzer now and again?
I don't like bubbles.
Oh, boy.
I know. I mean, we'll get to that. That'll be a whole different thing, but I just the bubbles bother me. I don't like carbonation. I never really did. But I that's what I order. So when, back then, it was you were cheap. But now, if someone says, oh, just water, I'm like, listen, you can bring it in a bottle. I'll pay for the water. Yeah. That's not the issue. That's what I like to drink. Mm-hmm. I like that with a coffee. I have them both together usually, a hydrant with a dehydrant. I'm fine with that. But when I go to order that, and then someone's like, well, I'll have a cocktail, and I'll have beer, and I'll have this, and we're doing shots. It's like, Pat, you sure you don't want anything? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. Oh, come on, Pat. And I'm like, I'm all set. I don't drink.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't? Oh, that's good. Good for you. Oh, good for you. Good for you. How do you do it? I don't know. I just say no, and then I wake up tomorrow, okay? Like, how's that?
You smoke a ton.
But that makes
weed.
Me uncomfortable. Like, I'm all of a sudden like this fuddy-duddy. It's like, yeah. I make jokes for a living. I'm more fun than you. Like, then you can make me feel like a stiff because I don't want to drink at a table. Like, so what? It does make me uncomfortable. Every time the whole table wants to order those drinks, and I'm just like, I'm good with the wine.
That leads me to the awkwardness of, like, when I – because I still hang out with, like, all my – like, I used to drink a lot, and I still hang out with all my friends who do drink a lot. And, like, we'll all go out to dinner. And then they're, like, ordering drinks. Then at the end of the night, they're like, all right, you just want to split it down the middle? It's like, cool. My dinner just cost $60 because you ordered 3 chocolate martinis.
Yeah, that was honestly my uncomfortable thing that I was going to bring up was wondering or worrying how the bill gets split up.
Absolutely, yeah.
At a meal, because it is like that. Like, I'll go there, and I just drink water or coffee, too, for the most part. And I'm just sitting there watching people get appetizers and drinks and stuff like that and be like, these motherfuckers better not suggest a 4-way split.
Right.
Because I'm going to end up eating a quarter of the cost of their fucking drunk.
My favorite and also worst nightmare can happen at the same moment. When you're going out to eat with a large party.
Yes.
And at the beginning of the party, one person gets up and goes over to the host, maitre d', hostess, whatever, and calls them over for like the secret meeting.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there going, I hope they're asking for the check.
Yes.
I hope they're going to make that call and say, I got this, bring it to me. And then you find out that they're just like saying, hey, bring out a birthday cake. And you're like, oh, you motherfucker. I don't want to have to sing. So it could be one or two things. Either one makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, then you're just like, I hope they said to put the birthday cake on their tab.
Yeah, I hope that's not a thing where we all got to sing because then everyone's going to want that shit. You know, I got to sing a song and I don't care about this.
Do you ever just pretend to sing? Do you just like open your mouth?
I'll do that. I used to do that at church all the time, but not at a restaurant.
I always, on purpose, don't do the name, and I yell out another name that's like just ridiculous for no reason to be an asshole. Okay. Like if it's just like, happened there, like Clanisha, and then it was like, what? I'm like, whatever. It's like say a different
Who's
fucking
birthday
name.
Were you here for?
Who cares?
You know what happened? I used to do that, and then at one point in my life, I became someone who would rather sing poorly in public than get caught being a weirdo who's too self-conscious to sing out loud.
I got no problem rocking a happy birthday. I mean, it's the song I know the most.
I don't like singing, so I guess.
It really is. Like, of all the songs I've ever sang, I sang the most.
If you're not a singer, it's probably the one you're most experienced with, for
without
sure.
Without a doubt. It's definitely the one that I've rocked the most. I don't need any kind of cues.
Prompting,
I wouldn't be the guy who needed that at karaoke. waiting for the beats to go, 18 beats. Okay, let's go. I'd be okay with that. I'm not uncomfortable with that birthday song. But when you're saying with the check coming out like that, the way I handle that, I'm a very poor person. I can't. If I go out to eat with more than than just myself and my girlfriend or myself and my kids, something like that. And I know that I'm not going to handle it. Even if I go out with my girlfriend and I know that I'm strapped, I'll talk. I will. I have. It might. I know it makes them uncomfortable, but I have the conversation before we get there. Because I know my financial status. So I say right away, hey, listen, you want to go out to eat? That sounds great. Either you're treating or splitting Dutch because I don't have it. Yeah. I just don't have it right now. Or if we're going to go out to eat, hey, we're going to go out to eat. Let's go somewhere where it's a little cheaper because it's what I can handle right now.
Yeah.
I'm too old in my life right now to go out to eat. I used to be when I was younger. Let's go out to eat. And don't worry. I can eat air for the next 3 days until I get paid again. But that's not me anymore. I don't want to be that way. So that part, I don't mind. But if I go out to a group of people, when the waiter comes, before they can say anything, this comes from – I've dated mostly waitstaff people since I got divorced. Most people I've dated have all worked in the industry in some way, shape, or form. And the one thing they've always told me that they hate the most is when people don't let them know about splitting the check till the very end. Because it is a pain in the ass because people don't think
it is.
Or they
put it in the system, right?
They put it in the system, then they've got to resplit it. It changes how – and there's a gratuity on certain things, large parties. And also it's not a large party. It's four small parties. It changes how they get the tip. It changes all these other things. People start bitching and complaining about what they actually ordered because there's appetizers on there that people shared. So, like, even though it's all of us split it and you know you got your – say you're paying for your meal and your girlfriend's meal, Josh, and then you're paying for you and your girl and I'm paying for me and my girl, and we all do that, but we all split appetizers. Yeah. The waitress doesn't know.
I don't want to pay for meatballs.
then they have to ask who was paying for the chicken wings. And it becomes an odd, and you don't want to put them through all that. Yeah. And it makes everybody at the table uncomfortable. So right at the beginning, when they come over, I say, hey, can we have separate checks, please? My check's going to be for myself and her. Mm-hmm. And then I've watched other people at the table like, no. We'll just split up. I said, no, I'd rather not, if you don't mind. Either you can pay for all of us. If you want to do that, thank you. But if not, and that's it. And I know I do feel uncomfortable even saying. I'm not like easily able to say that, but I know that it will. If I don't say anything, I will have a stress-filled meal the entire time,
just worrying
about, worrying about what, how much they're ordering, if I can afford it, if I can check them with the tip, if I'm going to have the money on me. Because most of the time, I don't carry cash on me, so I have a card. So usually, my luck, I have the card, and two other people are like, well, we have cash. We'll just give you cash. I'm like, we better run to a bank quick. This is not going to work out. I'm going to be at zero the second I run this
thing.
Can you
mobile deposit cash?
Can you go to my bank, put that cash in, and then we'll do this? That'd be fine. But that's how I am. That's why when I go out to eat like that, I need to know right away what we're doing. I need the game plan.
Yeah.
So it makes me uncomfortable. Not my family. My dad is the guy who always, I will pay for it. And my brother is that way too, and I'm happy that they're doing fine. I am not. I'm always like, yes, they will.
I'm also uncomfortable because like my friends will like they'll be like, oh, like because I'll be like, hey, I'm like, why am I paying for all these drinks? Like you guys all order drinks, I don't drink. Like what's the deal? And they're like, well, you're doing fine, you can afford it. And it's just like, why? I'm uncomfortable being like, you should have no presumption on my money. You know what I mean? Like
stop
you
don't counting my money.
Right, exactly. And it's like I don't. Like, I hate the people are like, oh, what are you nickel and diming this? And I'm like, I got to worry about money. I got a mortgage. I got stuff. You know what I mean? I got expenses. Like,
and like you said, too, the very important thing is that some people, it's not an even thing. Even if we all got the same meal, the drinks are a big deal.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's a huge deal because most places when you go out to
that's
eat
that's like
now,
half the cost.
Well, I mean, Frank Margallo, a good friend of mine, and you guys know him, he likes to go out to eat a lot, and he goes out with friends and stuff like that. And he's the kind of guy that likes to be the one, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. That's him. He's always been hospitable. That's him. Loves going out with me because it's just food.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no booze. There's no whatever. What we're eating is what we're doing. It's not a cheap date. In my mind, it's one of the most expensive dates of all time. But to him, it's a cheap date because he likes to go out and eat nicer places. But
he usually charge you for the first coffee, which
when
is
we
nice.
Eat, oh, yeah. No. But it's to me, when he tells me he goes out to eat, and like he'll go out with their neighbor, and the neighbor will be like, you know, just right away, oh yeah, and I'll have this expensive bottle of wine, knowing he's paying for it. And it's like the wine costs more than the meal. And he's not even drinking the wine, and she's just drinking like two glasses and just sitting there, you know, and it's just like, it's fucked up. Like,
that's disgusting.
That makes me uncomfortable because, like, if I do try to say it, let's say I am feeling a little froggy and I did okay, I had a good weekend and made some good money, and I'm like, yeah, let's four or five of us go out to eat.
Do you say
and do
feeling a little froggy?
Yeah.
Even good. If it was like,
hold on, is this a phrase that we're supposed
to
know?
You're feeling froggy, jump. You never heard that before?
No.
Yeah, it's a very well known phrase.
Anyways,
you're feeling a froggy. You're feeling good. You're feeling like you can jump in.
Yeah, I mean, I got the context. I just never heard it before.
Well, that's
in my
how
life.
Sayings work, Josh. Honestly, if I say a saying and then someone gets the context, that means the saying works.
Right. Yeah. I was just surprised 38 years I've never come across it.
Oh, get out of New Haven. okay. Explore a little, Mr. Guy's going all over the world, not going nowhere. Anyway.
The idea of what a disgusting person you'd have to be where it's somebody else's treat and you make the decision to order an extra bottle. Like,
yeah.
Even I could see suggesting, like, hey, Frank, would you like to split a bottle of wine or something like that? Or even, like, you know, I know you don't drink, but I'm going to get some wine and I'll pay for the wine or something like that. I don't want to stick you with that.
Have you gone out to eat with anyone that is an alcoholic since you stopped drinking?
You mean a recovering alcoholic? No, or
like
still
someone that just, they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Right. They don't look at it like it's anything wrong. 9 times out of 10, when I've gone out with anybody who drinks, they're like, that's part of their everyday meal.
Yeah.
So if they sit at home and eat pasta and drink a bottle of wine, to them, that's how they eat when they go out. So when you say we're going to take you out to eat, they're like, well, that's what I have. I have a bowl of pasta and a bottle of wine. Or I have 4 Jameson and gingers and 2 shots of whatever, and then I have a cheeseburger. I know people that when they want to go out to eat, they have like a small dish of spaghetti and then 6 scotches. Like, that's their dinner. Ooh. And they're like, let's go out to eat. But there's those people who exist in the world. And when they go out to eat, that's what they mean. When they're like, let's go out to eat, they mean drinks, but there's food too. And I mean food, nice, where I'm going to have some water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and that's a hard, you have to kind of, to me, you almost have to like know who you're going out to eat with. I tend to not go out to eat with a lot of people. I like to go out to eat.
So if somebody asks you that you don't know well, does that make you uncomfortable?
Yes. And I usually will say I'm busy.
No matter what.
I'm definitely not busy. 100% not busy. I will do that. But I will miss out sometimes because I do like to go out to eat. Now, that leads into the other thing I want to talk about. I'm someone that does not like to be asked, where do you want to go? And not because I can't make a decision. It's because I like new experiences. I don't like going. I know a lot of people that love to have a regular place. And there are places I like to go more than once. But for me, I like to try something new all the time.
Hell yeah. Surprised.
I like that. But that being said, I don't want to be the one that makes the decision because I might go, ooh, there's a new Ethiopian place that I'd like to go check out, which I said years ago in New Haven, and I really enjoyed that place when I went there.
Yeah. Balboa.
Yeah.
Still there? Very good.
No, it was great. But I wasn't the one to say that first because therefore you're also hoping someone else is like you. And then people go, and then they think you're weird. So I'm like, I like someone else to say, hey, let's try this. But usually most other people don't make a decision either. So therefore they think I'm being picky. But in reality, I just really am. I'm Russian roulette. Let's just spin the thing and let's just go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'll try to eat anywhere. And even with my restrictions, I know I can always find something anyway, especially if it's something that's not Italian. Cause that's really the only thing that's really limiting me is Italian.
Yeah.
Because most other places are fine with it. You know, you can eat other stuff like that all the time. So, yeah, to me, I'm somebody who likes someone else to make that decision. But I don't want – but if they say to me, you want to go to that place we went to last time, that's when I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, you didn't like it? I'm like, no, I did, but we did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't need to know the menu. The only difference is that when I go with Frank to the casino twice a month to Bobby Flay's, he likes Bobby Flay's. We've eaten everything on the menu 12 times, but we like the place. They're nice to us, and I've every dish I've had, I've liked. So I don't mind that.
You're not missing that much else at the casino either.
No, there's not too much. There's a sushi place we like a lot too. That's okay. There. He'll switch and he'll go eat that. He likes trying everything, but he gets particular, and he's also footing the bill, so I'm fine with that. Yeah, but it's also, for us, it's more about the conversation and watching him. He likes to be like a godfather, so I like that.
Yeah.
He sits there, puts a napkin in the chest.
Sugar daddy.
Sits there,
yeah,
laser.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's paying for my bills. So I got to take care of the man.
Yeah.
So, but Sasha, are you someone who likes to make the decision, have the decision made? Is it weird for you when someone says, where do you want to go?
I don't mind either one. I do like, much like you, I like when somebody will suggest a place that I've never been. Because I just like the racking up the new experience part of it. But I also won't hesitate if they're on the fence about something, being like, oh, good, because I want to go here and eat this, you know, I want to go to Sesame falafel for the millionth time and get baba ganoush and a giant stack of pita bread and just slam it back.
Now, if someone makes me go to the same place like that, I will make sure that I order something completely different. If I'm going to have to go to the same place more than once, I'm now going to explore the menu. That's the one thing I'll do. I'll be like, I had this one time. And if I really liked it, it's like, I had it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to try something else. Because to me, the biggest part about going out to eat is trying something I've never tried before.
Yeah.
Because if it's something simple, I can have that at home. I'm not like a great cook, but I can make things enough. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can do that. I want to go somewhere where I can't make it or couldn't even fathom making it. yeah. and I want to try something new. Now, a lot of people aren't that way. So sometimes people are like, oh, well, that sounds difficult. I'm uncomfortable with people that get uncomfortable trying new things.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That's a hard thing to go out with. When people are like, well, I just like, she's like my friend Dion. Dion just likes chicken nuggets and fucking omelets at a diner. He's like a baby. He's a baby. And, yeah, and you have goofy. To feed the baby. He's like, if you go to a diner, it's always the same thing. Every single time, it's an omelet with cheese and bacon that's super burnt and home fries that are super burnt. He's got to eat like that because he's a child. But I will try something new every time. If I'm at a diner, I'll even go, I'll look at the dinner specials. And let me have the pot roast.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I love diner specials. Yeah.
Right, we'll try it out. Why not? But it's
I've got local places like the aforementioned Sesame Falafel where I have bingoed out the menu.
By the way, this show brought to you by Sesame Falafel.
Yeah, where I have just completely bingoed out everything on the menu, and then I find like one or two things that I'll just order in abundance, like my one or two favorite things that I'll get over and over again after that.
That's one of those places, if you go enough, that you get excited when they have specials. You're like, ooh.
Yeah, for sure.
Try this out. How about you, Josh? Are you someone that makes the choice, likes the choice made?
I do like to suggest new places, but it does bring up this anxiety because I feel responsible if the place isn't any good.
Right.
And so now I'm like, oh, I dragged all my friends. Like, this was the night we went out, and now we tried this new place. And like, and a lot of the things, like,
you just get ahead of it by shitting on it first. Being like, can you believe this awful place I suggested? Oh, big blunder on my part. And then just start tearing it apart.
Well, see, that's the funny thing with that. You notice that usually that's the case with it. If it's really good, someone will go, oh, we tried this new place. But if it stinks, Josh suggested.
That's right.
This awful place. But you don't get credit when it's good.
The other problem is, like, if you're going to experiment, like, with a new place, chances are new places have the most, like, figuring out left to do. So, like, you're more likely to have a weird experience at a new place. So, like, I like that. And, like, I have a couple friends that I know who I know are down for that. But in a larger group, I'm, like, afraid. I'll be like, someone else just pick, because I don't even want to be – I don't want to be held responsible for whatever happens tonight, you know? Mm-hmm.
Now, what if you're going out to eat with someone you've never gone out to eat with before? Do you want to make sure that the place you go to is something that you're familiar with so you feel comfortable? Or do you want a new experience with the quote-unquote new experience?
I don't usually bring someone somewhere I know so that I'm like, here's a place that I think is great. You know what I mean? And you should check it out. Like, I don't know if it's like a visitor to New Haven or something. Like, oh, you got to check this place out. You know what I mean? Because for me, it's a good excuse to sort of re-experience a place through somebody else's eyes, which I kind of like, you know?
There's also something to be said for telling a new person, hey, I've been meaning to try this new place out.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
And it makes you seem like a free spirit and fun and adventurous.
Oh, so you're a liar. I do, if I'm going to go out with someone, I want to go somewhere I've never been. And that is because what Josh said, because I don't want to be blamed when it stinks.
Right.
I want to say, what do you like? I don't ever ask anyone where they want to go. It's too much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a general ballpark. What kind of foods do you like? And then I will Google in the area near me or whatever where we're going to be. Thing that I go, we can either do this, this, or this. And then I let them Sophie's Choice that one. Mm-hmm. And then we get to that area. We'll go, okay. Then I'll say after we get those three, okay, we'll go with this. And that way we kind of made the decision together. Mm-hmm. So I can't really put it on me.
Have you heard like the 5-3-1 rule where like you start with five choices and the other person narrows it down to three and then you just pick it from like the one or something that?
But that makes me uncomfortable because there's an odd number. So therefore, no, but seriously, but therefore someone's got to make two choices. So it should be a 7-5-3-1.
Okay.
You really? So that way.
Seven is just a lot. It gets
you know what though? It starts it off. It's there. You eliminate two because there's always going to be two. You're like, all right, that's bullshit. What is that?
Yeah.
Is that a cannibal place? What is that? That's all men? I'm not eating that. But all right. So what other things make you uncomfortable? Okay. I don't want to get too much into – when I talk about what makes uncomfortable restaurants, I think the focus should be on what makes us uncomfortable. Now, yes, we can get into things with wait staff, but I think a lot of times what people find uncomfortable about wait staff is because you start to learn a lot about how terrible a person the customer is. Because there's some things I can understand. If a wait staff is rude to you, if they drop water on your table, or they're like I was at a diner once and a lady actually said, "What do you want?" And I said, "A menu." And she goes, "Oh, sorry," and then threw it at me.
Like, was that Cody's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you there, or do you just know the customer service that well?
I know the customer service that well.
I think I might have come back and complained to him about that one.
Okay.
But I don't get too mad at waitstaff. I've worked in the industry in many different ways, managing stuff like that, where I understand what they're going through. But that being said, I get upset. I get uncomfortable with how people act in restaurants. My dad does this thing that my whole life from a child to now has made me more uncomfortable. And I don't know most people tell me that they don't know anyone else that does this. My father has to always start, you know how the waitress will say, "Hi, I'm Katie, and I will be serving you." He'll go, "Hi, Katie, Pat Oates." And then he has to do that back and go, "So Katie, is it? Katie. Well, Katie, this is my family here, and Katie, we'll probably start off." It just won't stop doing that, and it's just like I'm afraid to order, and it stinks because I also know my name is Pat Oates, and I don't like the fact that, if she ever did go Google, who is this maniac, I come up on Google more, and we look somewhat similar, but not really. And then they think I'm the crazy person that kept saying the name back.
She really books this comedy club.
Or the other thing makes me uncomfortable, the joke that I thought was funny when I was 7, but is not funny anymore. My name is Katie. If you need anything, and then the person will go, "What if we don't need anything? What's your name then?" It's like, we need to go. We need to now leave. Doggy bag for the nothing we ordered yet.
Me and my grandparents went to Red Lobster one time, and my grandfather told this black lady that was the server at our table that she looked like Flip Wilson.
What was her reaction?
And he was so blown away by it. Flip Wilson is a man, for one thing.
But he did dress up like a woman in one of his skits.
Yeah. But he was so blown away by it that he just like was so excited about it, and the lady took it in stride. But I was so fucking embarrassed because it's like, you're telling her she looks like a man in drag. This is not cool.
Now, did you pay attention to how well he tipped? Because I hope he tipped like 100%.
That's another thing that would make me uncomfortable. When my grandfather was growing up, tipping was 15% was the standard.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, it got bumped up to 20. So I would go out with them, and I knew they tipped 15%, so I would start. Even though they were paying my meal, they were generous enough to do that. I would leave the rest of the tip under one of my dishes.
Like an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you
go. They're like, "Here's one tip." And they're like, "Ooh, lunch bag surprise."
And I felt like it was betraying my grandfather a little bit.
It was a little.
It was almost like big timing.
I could see that being uncomfortable because one of the biggest conversations and arguments you can have when you go out to eat, we talked about the part where we're happy someone else is paying for it. When two people are arguing over who's going to pay for it, and then it becomes the, "I'll pay for it, you do the tip." And then that kind of puts a challenge on the tip person.
Right.
Like, because like one person paid for it, and the other one's tipping, and then the one that paid for it's like, they better leave a good tip because it's my credit card.
Yeah.
Where I'm putting it down. My name's on this, and if they leave a shit tip and it reflects me wrong, I look bad. Or vice versa. If the other person makes a big deal about it, they're paying for it. I'm handling the tip, then they leave like a fucking 50 and it should have been like a 20. And you're like, "All right, dick." You know what I mean? Like they can do that because they were planning on spending 80 anyway to eat, and now they're just throwing a 50 down for a tip.
I say a nice way to handle that situation is 30%. 10% above market value of tipping. So you're generous, but you're not showing off.
Showing off will be fine, I'm sure, if that's what you wanted. Speaking of like uncomfortable and like how you treat customers, my mom was always like that, like the worst nightmare for like somebody. Like she'd be like, "Excuse me, I ordered it medium rare," and I feel like this is like medium rare, and I'm just like, "Oh my god!" Like, and like this was just a common, and it's like I would want to
send a lot of back.
Absolutely,
yeah,
and
a lot
so
of back.
And I'm just like, I was so humiliated as her son. I'm just like, God, like, I just want to leave. Like, I'm not paying, you know, I'm a kid at this point, but I'm just like, I would rather be anywhere in the world than like my mom causing a scene in a restaurant because the steak is not whatever she imagines medium rare is.
When a place gets my order wrong and I will have, you know, let's say I will have the bacon double cheeseburger with. And I order it like a specific way, like no tomato. Let's just say something like that.
Yeah.
And then they bring it with the things I said I didn't want, or cooked wrong, or something like that. I eat it.
Yeah. So you won't correct them at all.
As long as it's not dangerous. No.
I don't say anything.
I'll correct them if it's like if I wanted tater tots and they bring me French fries. I'm like, I spend $2 more for tater tots, and that's that. My dreams are tater tot centered now.
I would tell them to adjust my bill, then I'd focus on the fact that I just saved $2. And
100% correct. If I order something,
so you just procrastinated your awkward situation to the bill,
right? If I ordered something that I didn't get, I will definitely say something.
Then. Okay, yeah.
But if it's the same value.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get it. They just didn't get it right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have eggs sunny side up and they bring out scrambled.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
I'll eat scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
But I don't want it and I'm uncomfortable and I should say something because that was the whole job and it's how I ordered it. I know I said it correctly.
And I think if you're nice about it, there, I'm like, hey, I didn't order.
It's not even me. It's me knowing that they have to go through a whole process again and knowing that all these people have to do all these jobs. And I could easily scramble eggs at home. That's the whole thing. My end of my day. What bothers me is the things.
Listen, lady, I can scramble eggs at home. I want them sunny side up.
But I meant the other way. I meant like for me to complain about it. Like when someone gets upset about I wanted lemon in my water, and I know there's a bunch of comics who do this joke. I'm not doing the bit. There's a reason why they all do the joke when they say like someone does that goes, "Do you have lemons at home?" And you're like, "No, none of us do really." You know what I mean? None of us really do. So it's so funny that when you go out, the people that need the particulars, understand how some people go out, it's about the experience. But if your experience is all the loaves of bread or like 14 lemons or you need 37 napkins or whatever, to me that makes it more. Excuse me, miss that. I hate that. Miss the hand thing out loud. They'll come over. They'll come to you. You're not the only table here. The people that have to control. My dad was kind of like that. Is your mom kind of like that?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, she just had everything had to just be perfect, however she imagined that was. And like, yeah, she was too much in her own head to be like, this waitress also has 20 other tables and needs to like worry about it. Like, there was no consideration for that.
Or what I hate when you're at a table with someone and they don't know who your waitstaff is. So they just start yelling to everyone.
No, to any, yeah.
And I know that nowadays it's a bigger. Nowadays they work in teams a lot of restaurants. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll be like, "Hi, I'll be myself." There'll be a runner. There'll be all these different people, and you can order through any of us. That's different now.
Yeah.
For a long time, in a lot of places you go out to, it's just one waitstaff, and then the person sitting there is just like being inconsiderate. Like someone will come over and go, "Hi, I'm your waitress, and I'll be taking care of you," and that's. When they say that to me, that means they'll be taking care of me. And I remember their face.
Relationship.
I remember who they are for the rest of the evening.
Yep.
You are the person. You are the face of the restaurant to me. You are you're the Mickey Mouse of this Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be dealing with you for the rest of the time. And then if another person walks by and says, you know, actually make me more comfortable. When it's somebody of the same race where I think, my first thought is, oh my god, the person at my table can't tell them apart. Like it's like two white women, but they all have ponytails, and they're like, "You're Caitlin, right?" And they're like, "No, I'm Susan. I'm a totally different human. I'm like 2 feet shorter. I'm 300 pounds heavier, or whatever."
It's like, I'll wait like a full minute or two to make sure I'm 100% sure. I'm like, because I've had this happen recently. Where I'm like, "Was that our waitress? Hold on." And I'm like, "Look good," and then I'm like, "No, that was it's that other lady. Never mind." Like you know,
I refer to all of them as "Excuse me."
Right. No, that's why what I'll do there. Is I will do the eye contact pull away thing.
Yeah.
So like if I need something and I see the waitress kind of like doing her thing off the side, I'll look over. Keep looking. And then when she makes eye contact, I'll kind of call away. Because if she is my waitress, for the most part, she's gonna walk over and go, "Oh, I'm sorry, did you need something?"
Mm-hmm.
But if she isn't, she's not gonna come over.
All right. You're just being a regular old creep.
Yep. I just creeped you out a little bit. But I've got that creep look. I'm okay with it. I've had this face the whole time. I know what's going on. I'm harmless, but it's fine. But it's just that. That whole thing where it's like yelling out loud, "I need this, I need that." You order something, they're going to come back. They're going to come back. Now,
I saw
we have some people that commented here on the Facebook first. Thank you guys for doing that. Stasi, you've got it open. Did anyone put anything down that we haven't gone over?
Yeah, there's especially one specifically that I wanted to address.
Well, we can cover through all of them if you don't mind. Some people like their shout outs. Last week, a couple people got mad. They didn't get shout outs.
But the first one I want to address, just because I have a rebuttal, is Steve Kierstead said Chinese restaurants with Kierstead said Chinese restaurants with no chopsticks makes him uncomfortable. And to me, I'm the complete opposite. If I'm out with somebody and they're using chopsticks, that makes me uncomfortable because it just feels like you're doing a trick, like showing off. Like you might as well be juggling.
I understand what you're saying, but that uncomfortability you're saying is about your own discomfort about having a lack of a skill. He's trying to make a joke. I know him. But at the same time, what he's saying would make me worried about the Chinese food restaurant. Yeah. If I go to a real Chinese restaurant and they have just forks, yeah. they don't know what's going on. Yeah. And then behind there is a white guy. And I don't want his Chinese food. I don't want Stan to make my Chinese food. I'm all set with it. I want to be able to have...
I mean, I'm cool if they also provide forks, but, you know.
You know what? You need that sometimes. I'm pretty good with a chopstick. I'm not as skilled with it when it comes to things like rice. Mm. When it's a white sticky rice, I'm not as good. So sometimes I do need a fork just in case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with it.
Get those last few
sushi, you know, any kind of stir fry, I can do it with this chopstick, and I'm pretty proud of how I can handle it. And mm-hmm. I like it. It's a different experience. My hand doesn't cramp as much because a fork actually does make your hand cramp a little more when I eat a fork. If you think about the way you hold it compared to the other way,
just like holding like dexterity. A knife,
yeah,
just, stabbing
or, with a stabby knife.
Here's another thing that's uncomfortable as hell. You ever go out to eat with somebody at like a non-Chinese restaurant and they pull out like their chopsticks they keep in their purse and just eat regular food with that?
I've never had that happen, but I wouldn't know what to do.
It's a wild time, dude.
I would be outraged.
I've had people pull out chopsticks, but never at an inappropriate restaurant.
I have had someone one time bring out their own silverware.
Really?
And say like the equivalent of their own bowling shoes, where they go out.
I own my own bowling shoes. All right.
I'm saying, but in bowling, that's okay because you're saying I have a skill. If you're bringing your own fork, knife, and spoon, you're telling me you know how to fucking eat better than I've ever eaten. Like, you already say, like,
or you just really don't trust the sanitation.
Possibly. I don't know what it is, but it's a very odd thing. Yeah, but okay. That would be odd if someone broke out their own shot. Now, I don't mind if it's at a Chinese food restaurant or any kind of Japanese, anything like that where your chopstick's supposed to be used. And I guess if we went to an Indian restaurant and someone wanted to break out chopsticks, I think that food can also be worked in that manner. You're not supposed to, but I can see it.
Yeah.
It would be a little weird because it's more of a hands-on thing. But
yeah.
But I would... I
feel
I
like naan is your chopsticks in Indian food. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
If you don't eat
naan
bread,
is the utensil.
Scoop.
You know what, though? That's the... Out of all the breads that have made me sad... About not eating them, naan bread is the one because I love a naan.
I eat it like twice a week.
That's the one where I still miss. Rest of them I really don't. Or you mentioned Red Lobster.
Cheddar Bay Biscuit.
Oh, shit, would be dude. An amazing thing as well. But
you think we're just doing like a one cheat day a year or something? Just go naan out on yours. Like, go naan out.
There. Naan out. Sounds like it's like you're not out of the closet yet.
wouldn't a flatbread like that feel like less of a cheat to you, though?
No. I don't want to get too off to this, but we've gotten into that. I don't do any of the faux stuff. You know what I mean? I don't do fake pizza. Bread. I don't do fake pasta. I don't do that. I just don't eat it.
I'm a big fan.
Because I did on my album. I don't eat cauliflower pizza. I don't need to faux anything. If I'm not going to fuck, I don't get a pocket pussy. There you go. So it's like...
Missing out, man.
Nah.
Yeah, on pocket pussies, I agree.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Things are great.
They don't talk. It's great. Hey.
Bing, bada boom, enjoy your ziti.
There's a pocket pussy, doesn't talk, you know what I'm saying?
Just shouldn't seek companionship from a flashlight.
Hey, you punch a pocket pussy, it doesn't call the cops, you know what I'm saying? Hey.
Okay.
I did a voice.
Yeah, like, we're being spaghetti dinner comics, dude. Relax.
Yeah, like he means Italians.
Yeah, makes you uncomfortable. Yeah, I was...
Ladies and gentlemen, John Parada. Anyways, let's go.
I did once try to impress somebody using chopsticks, but I was not skilled at that, and I dropped the sushi into the soy thing, and it went all over my white sweater, so that was pretty good.
Nice.
I was always very uncomfortable with chopsticks until I'm working at Joker's Wild, and Dom, who owned Joker's, one time we got JB Smooth to come for a weekend, and he was very excited. We got him to the radio, and it was a big weekend for us. We dropped him off the hotel after the radio, and Dom's like, "Let's go out to eat, man. I'm really proud of what we're doing here. Let me take you out to eat." And we went to it's the Chinese food place right kind of across from Cafe 9. There's an Indian place. It's on a side road.
I'm
talking about, I forget the name of it is. Miso.
Okay.
And we went to go there, and it was just us there and the wait staff. And the food was coming out, and I asked for a fork.
Yeah.
And Dom said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I've never used chopsticks before." And he said, "Well, you need to learn to impress women." And this is a guy who's been to prison, and a guy who runs a biker gang, and a guy who ran the mafia, and a guy who is dead. And he came over.
This is why we can speak so openly.
Most of those are very impressive.
And he stood behind me. And he like in the movie Happy Gilmore, when Chubbs got behind Happy Gilmore, it's all in the hips, got behind me and used my hands like in Ghost and grabbed the chopsticks.
This is so romantic.
No, he did. And he did. And he got the chopsticks and he held my hands and he showed me how to do it. And the waiter comes over and goes, "Can I help you?" And Dom goes, "You ain't going to say shit." And the guy just walked away. And I was like, And I learned how to use chopsticks out of fear that day.
That's great.
And from now on, I will show them off all the time. Hell yeah. But I was super uncomfortable that day because I thought if I didn't use them right, yeah. I'd sleep with the fishes.
It's the worst way to get whacked.
The raw fishes. Boy, who else we got on there?
Meg Quinn says people who use the calculator for the tip.
You know what? That doesn't make me uncomfortable.
Me neither. I like to know that I'm tipping enough.
Well, I also, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know what 15% of anything is. I can do 25.
Yeah. I do think it's
funny. I can handle 25%.
I also like to round dollars. So let's say if...
Which sounds racist.
Yeah.
Round dollars.
If the bill is $42.50 or whatever, it'd be like $8 and something for the tip. But I will use the calculator to figure out how to get it to like an even dollar amount. So it'd be like $51 total.
My move normally, and this is probably...
I know $42.50 is a bad example for that because it's like, only 50 cents that you'd have to figure out.
I'm not good at math. So probably someone's probably going to tell me at some points I've ripped people off. But when something like that, say the bill is $43.50,
mm-hmm.
like you said, I will go, what is... what? Okay, so what's the denomination where I can give them a amount of that's in the frequency of 20s to go. Mm-hmm. So I go, okay, 43.20, 30.50, I'll give them $60 and I'll just leave it. I'll say in my head, that's what I'll do. And I don't even know if that's enough or not enough because I'm like, more I don't know. Yeah. But I want to, I think that's okay because I'm going to go 60. If it was 55.50, then I'm like, I can't go 80. So that's where I'm like, 60? so it cannot work out
always. It doesn't always.
Yeah.
It's I usually I'm like, I figure out 10% and then I double it and then I just round up to whatever the next reasonable dollar amount is.
But calculator to me, you know what? That can make me uncomfortable if she's saying you're with people you don't know and you're trying to figure out the group bill. Because it makes you look dumb in association. I can understand that. If it's all together and like, how much was it? And before you say anything, it's like, okay, hold on, carry the one. And you're like, all right, shush.
I do think it's funny that people who are like, I often see people who are terrible at math, like just staring at it for a while. And I'm like, you should just hand it to somebody else. Like, why did you jump on this grenade?
Usually I'll just, and I know I'll sound stupid, I don't care. I'll say, what's a good tip?
Yeah.
I'll just say, fine. What's a good tip? Please help me out here.
Asking for help is a great.
I'm representing us.
Trait.
This is awesome. I'm speaking for the people. Stosh.
I'm realizing that a lot of your friends would hate going out to eat with
me. These
are my friends. And that's true. Especially not Johnny Benson, who says when someone...
Every week, I like Johnny so much.
Yeah, no, I love really Johnny. He's the best. Johnny. I can't wait for his 4th of July barbecue.
Well,
but,
I'll never go, but okay.
We'll
get into one thing about outings someday. We'll talk about how I can't go to any of them.
He says when someone blows their nose at the table, which... I realize can be a little rude, but if I don't do that, I will have to go to the bathroom 8 times in a meal.
Okay, well then I got to talk to you about this because this is something that bothers me a ton. What are you blowing your nose on?
Napkins.
So you're assuming that a restaurant you go to has cloth, paper napkins because most cloth restaurants, a lot of them have cloth. Are you carrying things with you? You have tissues?
No, if I go to a place that only has cloth, the majority of the places where I go out to eat have paper napkins. Let's be honest here.
Are you at a place with a paper towel roll?
Let's fucking be honest here. But I like to eat spicy food. Spicy food makes my nose run.
Yeah.
I can't. But if I'm at a place that only has cloth napkins, then I legitimately do like 2 or 3 times throughout the meal go and blow my nose in the bathroom, which is annoying.
What's going on with your sinuses that you can't? Why? Why are you blowing your nose? Food.
When I eat, when I eat in general, my nose runs. I have a bad ENT system. I've had swimmer's ear a million times. I've had tubes in my ears 1,000 times because
you
of it.
Stay home, because I wouldn't want to go eat with you. If you're mucusing it up, I would be uncomfortable because I'd be uncomfortable with you making any. She's talking about blowing the nose. Thank you, Johnny. Anything with the noises. If I'm with anyone that's just like. Anything noises, blowing.
Yeah. What if I'm just sniffling? Like sucking the snot back? Yeah, we're going. Is that all right? Like,
that seems more annoying to me than blowing the nose.
That's gross. That's super gross. unless you have
Did
a brandy
I just get
snifter.
Uninvited from any
without a doubt. If you had a brandy snifter and you had to smell like whatever the bouquet of the bullshit, that's fine. But if you're just sniffing, like what's going on?
Most of them eating chicken wings.
I'm eating chicken wings, and I've got to hear your mucus go through your brain. No, thank you. I don't want to hear any noises or juices from anybody.
You just want to eat.
I'm just trying
cold
to
silence
eat.
At your
I
house.
Can't eat when someone else any of that shit. I can't eat.
I'm a snot boy, baby. I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck.
Just don't invite me out to your thing, dude. That's
I don't
it.
Ever pull my nose in a tube. I'm actually a person that I don't
use a tablecloth.
I'm a big. I always put the cloth napkin on my lap. Always. On the lap right away. People don't do that. I'm a little worried about it.
Forget for a little bit, but then
don't forget at all. The second I unfold it,
I mean, during the bread course, it's okay, right?
The second I sit down, that's how I sit down. I sit down, I unfold, I get my utensils out, and I cover the legs right away. Because I don't want to have messy pants. I'm not a messy eater, but I'm always afraid about getting stuff on me.
I like to sit on the outside of the table because I pee a lot like an old man. So I like to not be like sealed in. So I usually will like awkwardly try to somehow get myself towards the out.
If I go to the bathroom more than once during a dinner, I hate the dinner. That's the whole thing. If I'm going, not the food itself, the people. If I'm getting up more than once, it's because I want to go look at my phone or just like kill time till the check comes because I hate the experience. Because if I'm enjoying myself and eating, I go one time and it's after the dinner's over and we're thinking waiting for dessert or having a coffee, that's when I go then. It's usually for me there. But if anyone's making a fucking noise or blowing their nose, if you went to the bathroom four times, I'm like, all right, can you do Coke later? Like, that's what I would say to you. Like, I can't have any noises. I'm eating. I can't feel disgusted. That's gross. Thank you, Johnny Benson. That is super. Blow your nose, cough in a bunch, turn away. Don't just do the dab mouth. Don't do that. Turn away. Get up. If you have more than two coughs or a sneeze, get the fuck away from the table and come back. Have some manners and grace.
Grace. That's what I think of when I think of you two.
Grace. I'm full of fucking grace.
That's right. What else we got, Sash?
Thank you for taking
Thanks, host.
I like that. You might be out. he's comfortable. I like this. Yeah.
Adam Parisi says, I can't stand hearing people chew, to which I say, don't go to a fucking restaurant, idiot.
Yeah, but he also said that during our pet peeves things. All right, Adam, two-trick pony, whatever.
He's got a thing.
But I said that, too. I also don't like, I know what he kind of means, though. I'm sitting at a table and someone's like, you shouldn't do that anyway, but when you're out to eat, it's not a trough.
I don't notice I do it sometimes. Like, I was actually driving with my sister one time, and I was trying to find parking. She kept turning my radio way up, and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, you're just chewing so loud. I was like, you could have just said something instead of blasting the radio.
Well, that's the thing. That's the part that I find odd. You either do one or the other. You don't turn it up and then reveal why. You either turn it up
because I
and say,
it down.
I just love this song, or something like that. Sorry. Or just like, I'm not one of those people that's like, I'm just having one of those days where I just need music to drown out my fears or something like that. But you say, well, Josh, you're chewing loud. And you don't turn the music up. Yeah. You don't turn it up. And then when you go, why? Go, because you stink at chewing. You don't do both. It's like,
I confronted her with her, you know?
I'm glad therapy's going well for you. I confronted her and I had to speak with her on what happened. we had a conversation and it's cleared up now.
Sorry.
It'll be a tough holiday, but afterwards. Go ahead, Jack. Stosh.
Skip Daniels says communal tables, which I imagine means like hibachi style.
Communal tables, the family style. I think what he's talking about is a table where it's like comedy clubs have them a lot. It's a long table, but they're like, him and I went to go watch a show. We're sitting there. I don't know you or another person, but you're sitting all at the same table.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it's a shared.
So a party of two and a party of four to make up a table of six.
I definitely see it uncomfortable because you want to have conversations. You want to be yourself with your friends. And sometimes you feel like you can't. Or other people are loud maniacs. Or the worst, people who now think they want it, that we're a group.
Yeah, we're friends now.
Oh, we're sitting here. Hey, where are you from? It's like, I don't know, from a place that you're not from, and I'm pretty psyched about it, and I'd like to eat my food, please. That's please right. Stop.
I've always seen that as an opportunity to be friends with people for an hour, despite the fact that I've always been, like, socially shy. But for some reason, at a hibachi place, I always saw that as, like, my opportunity to get laughs off of strangers.
Well, hibachi place
is
different.
Low stakes.
See, hibachi is not what he means, because the hibachi thing is that is set up. So you're sitting there and there's an entertainment thing going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's talking more about that table where you're sitting there and all of a sudden four people will be like, oh, we'll get a round of, and you're like, oh, is it you guys all together? And you're like, and they're like, sure. Like, no, I don't know you. No, we're not together. You don't speak for me. I don't
know
you.
Are you buying us coffees?
I don't want to sit here in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, because we want coffees and they want fucking booze. And they're doing Sambuca in their coffee and I get the wrong coffee and I'm not a happy camper. So it's like, I totally understand that. I don't like that grouping thing at all.
I interject too. Like, I was on a date and it was so close to each other. And this guy's like, I think you two really got it. And I'm like, oh man, don't weigh in on this. Like,
yeah,
it makes me very uncomfortable.
Oh, thanks, man, whose opinion I've never wanted to know. How's your life? I've been divorced three times. And shut up. You don't know. You don't know about dates.
Steve Knott says, wait staff asking me questions when I just took a bite of food and I'm chewing and don't want to talk.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
Which I think sometimes they do that on purpose.
No, they don't. I've never worked at any place where the waitresses had the time to fucking sit there and go, let me spring on this person. They are working way too fucking hard to deal with our fucking needy asses to do anything like that. No. I'm uncomfortable with people who get uncomfortable about that. That makes me not. Can you believe they asked me a question while I was chewing? Yeah, I can, because this is a fucking restaurant. One of the main themes is chewing. That's what you do here. You're supposed to eat. You know what the other option is? You're talking to me. And I don't like that you're talking to me. He said, chew your food. Yeah, they came over and asked how it was. They won't know. You won't know how to answer them if you haven't fucking eaten it yet. How are they?
I mean, you give them the old thumbs up, call it a day. Like, unless you have,
they're
like,
not asking you to give a breakdown like you're Gordon fucking Ramsay. They just want a thumb. Right. That's all they want.
Give the old thumbs down.
They don't care. They have enough things. They want you to go to fuck home.
That's right.
They want you to go home. They don't want you to sit there for 6 hours and discuss the meal and take your picks.
I also wish I was home. So
take your dumb picks. You. Frank, taking your picks. I just want to eat my fucking steak, Frank. It's getting colder. You don't need a pick.
What about me? Yeah, I like to ask though, like with the waiter or whatever, the waitress, like what they like on the menu. Does that make other people uncomfortable? Because I just like, I figure they've eaten a lot of it. Why not? You know,
I think it does make the wait staff uncomfortable because it puts an added pressure on them.
Yeah,
because you're asking what they like, but like just you just said, it's funny. You said you like to do that, but you don't like when a guy sitting next to you says that your relationship's going to work out.
Right.
He doesn't know you. Yeah. The waitress doesn't know you.
Yeah.
She may like steak.
Yeah,
I don't like to assume.
Well, you should give the caveat of I don't eat meat. So like, hey, I don't eat meat.
I don't like to assume that the wait staff.
My gay friend likes this. And
I'll be like, cool. Your gay friend sounds cool.
He sounds very cool. And I'm not arguing this at all. He sounds very cool and proud and fantastic.
You lead his number.
You're also assuming that they have good taste just because they're the wait staff. Yeah, they might be a steak with ketchup type of wait staff person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That or they might say, I would never eat here. Because <You're like, laughs> there's that sense of humor person. You're like, oh, God, what do I do here? It's like, I would say, when I don't know what to get, I've said, what's the most popular dish? What's your go-to dish here? Like, not I was their thing, but like, what's the house special?
I was thinking about one of these two. Which do you prefer? You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you were gonna recommend one dish from this place to somebody, what would you recommend? Type deal. But that's just more like banter and fun because that just means that you really just don't care about your life. You're ordering that.
I just want to try whatever.
Dealer's choice.
Or I'm just never gonna be back in this restaurant. Yeah. So
Dealer's
well.
Choice is one of my favorite games.
It's a good game. Good.
Marvin Wells says, when I go to the bathroom and the sign says, all employees must wash hands before returning to work, but there's no soap, no hand towels, no hot water. That has never happened to me, but that would freak me the fuck out.
I've definitely been to a bathroom without paper towels.
Yeah.
I've definitely been to a bathroom without soap. Mm-hmm. I've never been to one without hot water. I've never been to a restaurant that didn't have any hot water. I don't remember. I've been to ones that have scalding hot and no cold.
Milford, yeah. Hometown Homer Buffet. Shelter. What's, Golden Corral. Golden Corral in Milford never has hot water ever.
Well, that would bother me.
But you expect that level of quality when you go to the GC.
Yeah, I do like a little bit of soap. That would really help a lot, you know?
Yes.
If there's no soap, I've seen that at like a dive bar where like the only thing they have on the menu is like wings. And I'm like, all right, I guess. But it is pretty grimy.
Now, to be fair, though, once again, I know I'm going to be like the defender of the wait staff in a lot of this because I manage some places and I date a lot of waitresses and a lot of people in my family and life have done that stuff. To be fair, most kitchens do have a sink. That waitress is used to. So they might be going in the bathroom just to like check their makeup or do whatever. If it's a girl, if it's a guy, just literally to just throw water on his face for a minute or something because he's been working hard. He may be washing his hands in the back. What makes me uncomfortable is when I go in a bathroom and I see a customer come out of the bathroom and not wash their hand at all. That makes me uncomfortable because they're touching all the stuff I'm going to touch. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're touching doorknobs. They're touching things.
Whatever you do, not go to like a stadium because I don't think anybody there washes their hands ever.
I try not to go to the bathroom in a stadium.
Yeah.
I try not to ever go
three
to the bathroom
hours.
In a stadium.
Anyway, yes. Sorry. Digress.
No. That's going out. Stashua.
Dana J. Bean says, when someone in your party is shitty to the servers and you have to be the adult.
That's the only time I think I'm vocal at a table. Like, I don't try to make a scene, whatever, but if I see someone being rude, I make a joke that makes them uncomfortable. Yeah. If someone's like, hey, waitress, when's our drinks coming? I go, It's probably as soon as the asshole stops interrupting them. And then they'll be what? I'm like, shut your mouth. Let them do their job.
Yeah, I'll throw somebody under the bus real quick.
And be like, hey, take it off them. And I'll look at them and go, sorry, you know, he just got out of prison. It's not his fault. Or something like that. I'll take a shot enough where he'll shut his mouth. And if he wants a problem with me later, that's fine. But I'm like, don't you do that for two reasons. One, they're hardworking people. Calm down. You're trying to show off. And two, more importantly, they don't know the difference between you and I. Whatever they're going to do to your drink might happen to mine by mistake. Right. So it's like, let's calm down with that whole thing. So yeah, I don't like when anyone acts rude to any kind of waitstaff in that way. Even if the waitstaff is wrong with something, you're not going to win that battle.
Yeah, no, there's no
just
point.
Just let it go. Just let the fight go. That's why they invented Yelp. That's you right. Go home and you write a stern fucking letter.
That's the Levinson way. Hell yeah.
Stanley? I've called you a different name every time.
Okay. Yeah. Tim Beaven says, when a server takes your table's order but doesn't write it down and something comes back wrong. But that's more into the waitstaff stuff.
I ain't. No, but that one.
Yeah, that is pretty annoying.
I'm uncomfortable when someone doesn't write it down.
Yeah, agreed. Even if they don't bring anything back wrong, I'm still uncomfortable from the time they take the order until the stuff comes. Mm-hmm. That's another like showing off thing. It's like, you might as well be juggling. I don't give a fuck if your memory's great. Pretend to write something down for my fucking sake.
Even if you are someone who doesn't like to write it down?
Yeah.
Well, A, it bothers me because I know from running most kitchens, if you don't have a tablet, if you're not using a tablet, if you're not doing it in some way, either typing it in somewhere or writing it down, how's the order getting in? Because the kitchen needs to have a ticket or something sent to them to know what to do. And if you're just going to go in there and yell it to them, that means that either the place is so slow that they're only working on yours, which I don't think is true because I'm looking around and there are people here, or you might get it wrong. Especially if I'm someone, I like talk about meat, I eat all my meat, steak, everything like that, rare. I even make the joke of saying I want it to moo a little. Like, I like it like that fucking rare. And if they don't write it down, I know it's going to come back medium rare because they don't write it down. They just go whatever and it's fine and they don't do it that way. One of my few particular things, I do like to eat a Caesar salad without croutons. And I'll say without croutons.
Yeah.
If they don't write down, motherfucking croutons.
Yeah, I was
thousand goddamn croutons.
I'm with you because I'm like, oh, I want this burger, but I want a vegetarian. And they're just like nodding, like, yep, I got it. And I'm like, I worry that you don't got it. And I'm about to eat some meat by accident. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And then Stash said, humor me.
Yeah.
Humor me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just stand there. Don't click the pen.
Just right. These jerks are stupid. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't give me a fucking reason to worry for the next 20 minutes until my shit shows up.
If it's just me and I sit down at a diner and they're like, what would you like? And I'm like, you know what? Just a cup of coffee for now. I'm good. You don't got to write it down. But if it's me and six other people and we all just spouted off crazy orders,
absolutely.
Write some shit down.
Hell yeah.
What else we got?
Everything else is just repeats and, and jokes.
We don't want jokes on this show.
No,
No, I'm being serious. No.
Especially not these hack-ass jokes, no.
Good. Yeah, anyone that says people, fuck off. Anything else about restaurants before we go there? I think we covered most things.
I always used
to. Do you like it when a chef comes out?
Oh.
When you see somebody with a chef coat coming out to check, some restaurants will do that. They'll come out and go, "How was the meal?" Or someone that wasn't your waiter, like a manager, someone that wasn't your waitress, comes out to discuss that. I don't like that because I feel like that they're being like, I almost feel like I have to say good things to take care of my waitress. Like, I don't know why. Yeah, I just feel like they're being checked on.
I feel
like,
a social obligation.
How is this going?
Kind.
I'm like, how did this go? Yeah. I'm like, she was amazing, and they're like, well, how was the food? I'm like, she was amazing. She did great. I'm worried about
like
job
they're the
security.
Fucking principal, and they're doing a job review on your teacher. You know?
Yeah.
It's goofy.
Yeah, when the manager comes, or the chef is like, oh, what did you think? And it's like, even if I didn't like it, there's no way I could say it to your face right now. Like, I would never, just insult you like that. You know what I mean?
I also think it's odd when they, another thing with the waitress thing at the very end is when they don't understand that you don't want dessert.
Yeah.
You ever get that? It's like a dessert or anything? I'm like, you know what? Just coffee. Sure you don't want a dessert menu? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I don't want a dessert menu. I would just like coffee. I'm going to bring you a dessert menu. I'm like, listen, cold caller. You don't got to make this sell. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not going to have it, whatever. And there are times I'll have a dessert, but if I know I don't want one, I don't want one. now you're just wasting my time. Because I know that if I'm ordering a coffee, for me, it's I drink the coffee quick and I want out. I usually say coffee and the check, please.
Yeah.
I like to do that. I like to make sure I have the check coming in before they decide when they want to bring it. I kind of want it ready. I want to sit for a minute. Because the other thing, I think there was one other thing on there that you didn't read. I thought I saw it before.
And fucked up stuff.
No, no. I think Dave Hintz wrote something about being uncomfortable about being after it's over and people like to dwell.
Yeah.
And that one, I want to get into quickly before because that one bothers me a lot. I like to say coffee in the check because I think once we say check and once the check comes, we're saying we're leaving.
Yeah, that's
it. I understand that there's turnover. There's other things they have to do. They make more money that way. And if we want to hang still, if we were having a good conversation, they'll say, "Do you want the check?" I'll usually go like, "Can I have another glass of water?" Even if there's something that we're not really ordering more of,
yeah.
I'll do that to say we're going to be staying here a little longer. Because if not, I don't want to take up their time and space. And I hate it when someone else, they paid the check, and then they keep talking. We're sitting like, why don't we go take a walk and do this? Why don't we make someone? They're like, no, let's sit here more. I'm like, we did it. Now I just feel like we're fucking loitering. Even though we paid for things, I don't want to be here anymore. And they need us to get up. Let's get out of their way so they can go again.
Yeah. I never want to feel like I'm lingering there because, I mean, especially if it's busy, it's like you're just costing them money by sitting around bullshitting. And then also, like, we could finish this conversation next to the car.
And we did it.
Yeah.
What was the job? What was the thing? We were supposed to come eat. We did it. We did our thing. High five.
Mission accomplished.
Now I got rumblings going on in the belly, and I got to go do a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit there, and then I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go. I want you to leave when I go. I'm not going to go there. More times than not, I'm not ever poping in a restaurant. That's all different now. I'm just not doing that at all.
Well,
I would definitely
you really
be,
have to.
Yeah,
you
really
it's got to be such an emergency.
Such an emergency. And but I'm not doing that at all. So because everyone can recognize you, because especially if you wear shoes that have like flashy colors and stuff,
yeah.
People see you walking by the restaurant, see the shoe, they know who you are.
Yeah, the waitress sees you missing from the table for 10 minutes. She knows what's going on.
Yeah,
it's not like it's not like you had to go do an emergency heart transplant real quick. You come back 10 minutes later looking 5 pounds lighter. She knows.
She knows. You come back with the belt unbuttoned. It's all done up.
I especially hate lingering like when it's the end of the night. Like if like my friends are like just hanging out. I'm like, we're the last table here. Like how am I the only person here? It was like we're keeping however many people here. Like, we should go.
Why don't we let 10 people finish their evening as well?
Exactly. Yeah, you definitely hear someone else come in and they go, sorry, we're closed. And you're still sitting there. I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Hell
let's get that check. Let's go. Let's let them go the fuck home. So, Josh, you have anything you want to promote or push? Any shows coming up? Anything like that? Anywhere they can follow you?
If you want to push? Go to BetweenTwoRocks.com. I write stuff on there, and there's a podcast. And then I do a monthly comedy show at the Art Plus Studio downtown New Haven. So we're doing that Friday, the 21st of June. So if you want to come to that,
it's coming up. There
it's $10. Includes wine and snacks. It's usually a pretty good lineup. So
yeah, wine. What kind of snacks?
Just like, finger foods, like snacky snacks.
Not like hot ones, like nuts.
No, yeah, right. Nuts.
How about like a
cheese
platter.
Yeah, cheese platter's an option.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I like a cheese platter.
I mean, who doesn't love a cheese platter? But do
people
I want people
dairy.
Bound up for comedy? I don't know. Like, I'm
binding.
Not sure.
Yeah, exactly. I like a bind. You know what? I want to bind.
You want to bind?
I want to stage. I want to be bound up.
Fair.
Stosh?
StoshMakita.com, the world's number one chatterbait parody site / all my dates. Go look at it.
Dates and comedy, because when you said it like that, it really seemed like
we can
all
you and she who shall not be named.
Yeah.
And then all the women I date are also on there. You should really pause and say it for my comedy dates. MadePatOats.com for my newest article just came out for writing about what I covered this just today. Oh, if the audience doesn't get it, that's your fucking fault. Don't blame the audience. And it talks about how to make people sure they get it, make it universal, things like that. All my articles are on patos.com. You can get my album on there as well or on any platform, what you call it, A Birthday Like a Funeral. My book, How to Not Just Like Comedy, will be in paperback over the summer, so make sure you look for that on Amazon. Besides that, got no real big shows coming up. Oh, I'll be on the Anthony Cumia show again July 23rd, so pay attention for that. Check out all my podcasts, Pat Oates Said, The Discomfort Inn. Follow us all on the social media and Podcast 316. And thank you guys for staying at The Discomfort Inn.